What if the person standing next to you at the grocery store paid less for the exact same item? Not because they had a coupon, not because it was on sale, but because an algorithm decided they should. On today's America First, artificial intelligence is changing the way companies do business. But is it also changing the way they charge customers? Could your loyalty card, your online searches, your zip code, even your shopping habits help retailers determine the highest price you're willing to pay? Supporters call it innovation. Critics call it surveillance pricing. So who owns your shopping data? Should companies be allowed to use it in personalized prices? And where should we draw the line between smart business and consumer fairness? We're investigating one of the newest and least understood frontiers of AI. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this is America First. For decades, Americans have understood one simple rule of shopping. Walk into a store, pick up a product, and pay the price on the shelf. Everyone pays the same amount, unless they had a coupon or took advantage of a public sale. Technology is beginning to challenge that expectation. Retailers today collect enormous amounts of information through loyalty programs and online shopping accounts, mobile apps, digital coupons, even browsing history and purchasing patterns. Companies have long used that information to personalize advertisements and recommend products. But now, some consumer advocates and researchers are asking whether those same tools could increasingly be used to personalize the price. Now, the idea is known as surveillance pricing, using customers' data and predictive analytics to estimate what an individual shopper may be willing to pay. In some reported cases, investigators have found different customers being shown different prices for identical products through the same retailer or platform. Now, the reason may include promotional testing, geographic differences, loyalty discounts, inventory, or other business factors. But the findings have sparked broader questions about transparency and fairness. Now, supporters are arguing personalized pricing can benefit consumers by delivering targeted discounts and matching promotions to individual shoppers. But critics are worried the opposite could also happen, that algorithms might identify customers who are less price sensitive and offer them fewer discounts or higher prices. The technology itself, well, it isn't necessarily the issue. AI can improve inventory management, reduce food waste, and make shopping more efficient. But the real question is whether consumers understand how their personal data is being used and whether they have any meaningful control over it. As AI becomes more sophisticated, this debate is no longer about technology alone. It's about transparency, competition, privacy, and most importantly, trust. Because if every customer begins seeing a different price for the same product, Americans deserve to know how those prices are being determined. Joining me now to discuss is our panel, Dr. Tamara Patzer, best-selling author and creator of the Daily Success Media Network, and Michael Wynn, an attorney who focuses on U.S. federal crimes. Thank you so much for joining me, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I want to start with the basics with this, Dr. Patzer, because many Americans have never heard this term surveillance pricing before. What exactly is it, and how does it differ from traditional sales, coupons, or dynamic pricing that consumers are already familiar with?
Well, I believe it's really born out of what's been happening with social media even before AI came onto the scene. For example, Meta has been using all of the demographic information about its users, and it's a free platform. So, of course, the people just went along with it because they were enjoying the benefits. But with surveillance pricing, the word surveillance is the one I think that makes me the most uncomfortable, because it might not even be about what the people are actually doing. It might be what the AI is inferring about that person. And I'm glad that you have an intellectual property attorney on, because there is a lot that the average person does not understand about what they're giving away when they actually sign up for these different platforms.
And that's a great segue to bring Michael into this conversation, because let me just say, it ultimately comes down to not only surveillance, but also money in the bank account. How concerned are you about this, Michael, considering that right now AI is taking into almost every aspect of everybody's lives? Are you worried that we have not put a good enough, and I'd say even more government structure in, to protect the individual humans from AI?
Well, look, it's terrifying. And I'm not sure, I'm not entirely sure we can. You know, there's a Supreme Court decision a couple weeks ago regarding geofencing, which means to try to get the Fourth Amendment to determine where an individual may have been, or more precisely what cell phones were in an area at a given time, thereby getting around the Fourth Amendment. Well, the Supreme Court says you can't do that anymore. That was how a lot of people were picked up following January 6th, because the cell phone signal was just in the area. Problem is, there's no restriction on the government buying that data from commercial sources, and they sure enough go ahead and do it, right? Another concern, I mean, the theory is with both surveillance pricing and every other means by which a company could pick up data is what they call caching. That is, a person right next to you in line, they might get their information as well surreptitiously. Now, the theory is there's some kind of consent when you sort of type in your email address or your phone number that you're consenting. The problem is behind that is a lot of fine print, right? And there's been some calculations that it would take a couple days for anyone to read through that. Now, I may be able to read it because I'm used to reading stuff like that without falling asleep, but nobody, and very few of us do, right? And that's not real consent. Certainly the person next to you doesn't consent at all. So it's a problem.
But Michael, and wasn't that done on purpose? Isn't that why they did it that way? So that it was something that would put the average person doesn't want to take the time to read what they're giving over. And by the way, they incentivize very well. Usually it's like 10 cents off a can of chicken soup. I can't pass that deal up.
You betcha. CVS, you get all sorts of coupons and 10 bucks off, and then they'll even help you count the coupons at the counter. I mean, it's ridiculous, and we got to turn down, you know, don't you want to sign up for this and that and the other? I'm not sure how you turn it around. California just tried. A law became effective on Sunday that you can apply to the state, and the state has to inform all merchants and companies that you've been deleted and your data is deleted from, you know, public access. The problem is the exceptions swallow the rule. For instance, health information or credit reporting information, and a backup copy remains. So it's an effort. It's a political problem. There was a piece of legislation passed by the U.S. House that would have helped, got tied up in the Senate. And AI is moving a whole lot quicker than our Congress. So
there's a lot of things moving on this world. I think everything's moving faster than our Congress is.
Pretty much. I mean, but your companies are still gathering the data.
But they're getting,
and it ain't
going to
stop.
But that's the thing, Michael. Let me bring Dr. Patzer into this, because that's the thing. They are incentivizing folks. In fact, you really feel like you're not, it's not necessarily missing out on it. You're literally spending money that you don't have to spend if you don't sign up for these programs. Do you think that Dr. Prasser, do you think that it should be legal, or should our government officials be doing something better about that?
Legal is a whole nother arena.
Ethically, let's say ethically on this one.
Ethically, you know, I think that all of us could take the higher ground. But what is really interesting in what Michael said is about the fine print. Security.org actually had more than 1,000 people do a survey, and in the survey, they had one line that said, if you agree to this, we will get to have the option to name your firstborn child. 98% of those people signed it, and even there were 16 people out of that group who also signed it, who actually said they actually were they read contracts very closely. So think about the bigger issue. It's not just about, am I going to pay a higher price at the grocery store? This is, for example, all of us are all excited about voice cloning because, hey, I can have my voice cloned. I can eliminate all this time that I would be spend making videos, or I can have my image cloned. And think about it, I don't have to show up in person. My clone can make the video. And when you go to sign up for all those, there's the fine print. And I think this is, again, this is for the IP attorney to address. What are we really giving up when we say yes? Think about it. If I say yes, you can use my voice, you can use my image. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm just doing this for me, for my convenience. But think about it. It's not just about someone with a famous voice, like Taylor Swift or someone like that. It's the ordinary person. We all have a unique voice pattern. We all have a unique cadence. And what are we really giving up when we sign that agreement and then record our voice or allow our image to be seen? It goes way beyond, hey, are you going to charge me more? I think, obviously, I don't want to pay any more than the next person. If you have a coupon for a dollar off, I want to get the coupon for a dollar off, or whatever that is. But we're paying a big price. AI is going way beyond the individual, way beyond the company. It's going into Wall Street. And who is going to control the gatekeeper? AI is the new gatekeeper. That's been proven.
Well, let me point out, I think we can all agree at this point, Michael would not have signed over his firstborn naming rights. He probably does sit there and read over every detail. Hold on with me, Dr. Patzer and Michael, because when we come back, who actually owns your shopping data? Should consumers have the right to know when artificial intelligence is influencing the price they see? And should lawmakers step in before this becomes the new normal? Stay with us. Welcome back to America First. We're examining surveillance pricing, artificial intelligence, and whether consumers are entering a new era of personalized shopping. Joining me once again is our panel, Dr. Tamara Patzer, best-selling author and creator of the Daily Success Media Network, and Michael Nguyen, the person that reads every detail of a contract, an attorney who focuses on U.S. federal crimes, probably for a good reason. Michael, I want to start back with you, because one concern people have is transparency. Do you think AI is helping determine the price a customer sees? Should retailers be required to disclose that, or is this something that in the future we can prevent from happening?
Look, I just came from an airport in terms of reading everything. I'm going to take that back because I needed to get Wi-Fi. And, you know, say the Dallas airport, you got to scroll through a bunch of print. And I didn't read that. Just needed to get on Wi-Fi quickly. Just an illustration of how many times we blow by those kind of, you know, requirements. In terms of retailers' regulatory requirements, I'm concerned about the issue of enforcement. You know, we have limited capacity in our court system, certainly in courts that are equipped to handle, you know, IP litigation. So the answer is sure, they need to, or they should, on a moral and ethical level, provide that information, because you really don't have a willing buyer and a willing seller if you go back to it, if the buyer doesn't know that somebody else is getting a different price. It's not full information. How in the world we enforce that type of regulation? You know, I'm not sure. I don't have that answer. And to a degree, we're relying on the ethics of those who run our AI system, which are suspect to begin with.
Well, and the last thing we want is an AI police force here in the United States. Let's just go on and talk about
that. That's right. We don't need any more of that. No. I mean, what we need is this conversation, because there's going to be an idea that is distilled from this conversation three of us don't have. But there has to be.
Well, that's the thing, Michael. What scares me about this conversation is because everything in the past that we thought wouldn't have happened has somehow come true. Let's talk about members of Congress being able to come in and a price of a loaf of bread is going to be different from them for what it would be for you and I. It's what they did to our healthcare system. These are the kind of things that we need to set up and establish those guardrails now before it actually becomes something that happens and it's too late. That's what brings, you know, Dr. Patzer, I'm a little bit worried about is that the current situation when you're talking about this, majority of Congress, majority of the lawmakers that we have, even in the state legislatures, probably don't even go do anything more besides just get on their phone. And even that can be a little bit challenging for them. They don't understand everything that's going on with AI. They don't understand all the details of it. Do you think that they are so removed, and their staff might know, but they don't, that we can actually have this conversation with them? It's like you're talking about physics or quantum physics or nuclear nuclear fusion with people who are still dealing with rocks and stones.
Well, I think you're really talking about a real issue. A lot of people in the everyday world are so disconnected from the reality of life today with AI. And like I said earlier, AI is the new gatekeeper. And if you go into the political realm, many of those people, they come from a place of wealth, or maybe they don't go to the grocery store. They have other people going to the grocery store, or it just goes beyond even the conversations that we're able to have. Because again, the average person living their life, they're going to work and they're meeting AI in the workplace, and there's a lot of different things they have to encounter with it there. Now you're taking it into their literal, am I going to be able to afford the loaf of bread? Is my price different? And how is that price determined? Because again, the demographics that are being used, again, recently Meta just made a deal with, I think it was BlackRock, and it's like their BlackRock is going to be controlling 80% of the data information and AI information of that Meta has. Think about all of the information that people have been feeding Meta since, what, 2004? I think that's when I encountered it in the classroom. And I went into the back end and I was just like, whoa, look at all of this information that people are freely giving. And again, when you take it down to the grocery store, and we already know that most politicians have no idea about how much a gallon of milk costs, a loaf of bread, how far $20 goes. And your average person with getting a paycheck, they have to sometimes take that $20 and determine, okay, what can I buy? Okay, I can get a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk, and if you're lucky, a box of cereal and a dozen eggs for that $20. Or you go to McDonald's, and if you're lucky, you can get a couple Happy Meals and a burger. And I don't think that the average person even understands it. And again, AI, it's not this thing that's in a cloud somewhere. It's using real resources, real money. It's costing real people water supplies. In my local area, there's a big fight going on about AI centers, and that's a whole nother conversation.
A whole nother show.
And that is about
of what it is.
What is going on for the average person? And again, I'll hand it back with my question that I'm really interested in is, what are we really giving up when we start allowing AI to dictate our daily lives, such as how much do I pay at the grocery store because I want that dollar off coupon? What am I really willing to give up to save a dollar?
Well, let's go to our legal expert on the panel. Michael, what civil liberties do consumers have right now in regards to AI, if any?
Well, look, the Fourth Amendment remains intact. The fact is that this information is provided, it's not consented to. AI, unfortunately, is not going away, though. And the technology is outpacing our ability to regulate it. Most members of Congress do not have time, given the election cycle, to read the bills upon which they're voting. Maybe AI can help them by summarizing it, but much less do they have time to really dig into a policy implication and a system to deal with this. The only thing I can think of is to have an ability on the part of the individual to exercise their constitutional rights and a mechanism to instruct the government and its agencies to tell the distributors with some teeth in it, unlike California's new drop legislation, put some teeth into it. It's just too big.
Right.
It's too big. By the time we catch up, it's going to be another 3 years ahead. But here's another thing. I read a piece by Mark Zuckerberg yesterday, and AI may have written it, in fact, but the point is salient. That is, humans, particularly this country, we're resilient and we've adapted to all sorts of technological changes in the past that were supposed to put people out of business, the steamboat, the car, you name it, the telephone, and we've adapted. And we'll adapt to this too again. I don't have the answer, but we will. And we're resilient. We got to keep that attitude.
Oh, the irony of AI telling us that we can do something, that we're going to be able to overcome them.
It is,
I
it is.
mean.
But you know what? That's all right. I could put it a lot shorter, and I think I just did. And that's the attitude we got to have. Have to.
Absolutely. You
Despair
don't have a
doesn't work.
choice. But
No, we don't.
that's the thing. And Dr. Patzer, once again, these consumer programs signing up for have been going on for over a decade. It's not just recently since AI has come to the field. But do you feel like those loyalty programs, can you survive in today's world without having them? Can you survive without signing up for internet at the Dallas airport? Can we, what would it be like a society where that was eliminated and you didn't get that option? Do you think that today's society is too much built on them and that was purposely done so?
Well, there's a couple things there that you said. When you take away a human's autonomy, ability to say yes or no, now that's a whole different world that we live in. We get so dependent on convenience. Just like what Michael said, he was at the Dallas airport. He just wanted his Wi-Fi right now, right? And so he was like, it's okay. I'll risk whatever it is because I need this access to this technology. So that's a decision he made. But if all of a sudden they make it so that we don't have the choice to opt in to the use of the Wi-Fi at the airport, that's a whole nother idea. And that is a place we do not want to go. There has to be a line that the human being is always able to discern, do I want this? And right now we have the opt-ins and of course the fine print, but then we also have the opt-outs. Like for example, in an email, we have a subscribe button and we have an unsubscribe button. And AI is constantly reminding you, AI can make mistakes, proofread this, check this, and it also hallucinates. So again, I'm going to throw it back on the human, the individual. As long as we still have our rights, that's really what we need to fight for, is to keep our constitutional rights. And make sure that we don't allow anyone to take away our amendment, the Fourth Amendment, our Fifth Amendment, whatever rights that we have, because we fought hard to get and to maintain those rights. And I think every person should step back and think for themselves. That's what I'm always advocating, is think for yourself. Don't allow a machine or any other person to tell you how to think. But you do have to, again, AI is here to stay.
So we have to learn
Not
to
a
adapt it.
fad.
Right. So we have to learn to adapt, and that means signing up for the Dallas Airport Wi-Fi. We're very grateful for you, Michael, for doing that. And Dr. Tamara Patzer, best-selling author and creator of the Daily Success Media Network. Thank you so much both for joining me today.
All right. Thank you.
Thank
Thank
you. I appreciate it.
You know, technology has always changed the marketplace. The cash register became the barcode. The barcode became online shopping. Now AI is becoming the newest tool shaping how businesses interact with customers. Innovation isn't something to fear. In fact, many of the technologies we rely on today have made our lives easier, faster, and even more convenient. But innovation should never come at the expense of transparency. Americans deserve to know how their personal information is being collected, how it's being used, and who is profiting from it. Very important. And whether the price they see is truly the same price everyone else sees. Competition is one of the greatest strengths of the free market. But markets work best when consumers have information, choice, and confidence that they're being treated fairly. Artificial intelligence will continue transforming commerce, no doubt. But the question isn't whether that future is coming. It's whether consumers will have a seat at the table as those rules are written. My thanks to our guests for joining us. And thank you for watching. I'm Scottie Nell Hughes. This has been America First.